Welcome to Dome Building 102. If you were here for 101, you know about me. My name's Larry Byrne. Been with the company for 24 years. We've been here in Texas for 18 years. And we're having a lot of fun. We won't reiterate a lot of things, but you'll still get whatever out of 102. A lot of this one will be questions. I'm looking at slides. We'll answer questions that a lot of people had in 101 that might didn't get to answer them, and we'll also talk about some eco-shell housing. Now, the guy that was really interested in third world housing didn't come back, and this is where we get into that. But anyway, we get started. We went over what the monolithic dome is. Most of you probably already know that. We went over a few things like combining the shapes. We can add double domes, triple domes, stem walls, things like that. We'll start out just a little bit here at the beginning with some eco-shell stuff. There's eco-shell 1 and eco-shell 2. Anybody know the difference? The original eco-shell, which we call eco-shell 1, we tie the airform down in away from the edge of the concrete slab, about 3 inches. We put all of our rebar over the airform on the outside, and we spray on or pour on or trowel on concrete from the outside. And this would be primarily what would be used in the developing countries and things like that, particularly where they're in a climate where they've never had air conditioning and don't particularly care to, so it doesn't need to be insulated, so we do the eco-shells. And in countries where they have limited electrical power and things like that and a lot of labor, they're going to do it from the outside, put it on over the top of the airform. Eco-shell 2, we couldn't do originally because we couldn't get the concrete to stick to the inside of the airform. Eco-shell 2 just means it's built like a monolithic dome from the inside. We put up our airform, we go in, we tie our rebar grid around the inside of the airform, and then start shooting concrete. But the airform was not, as long as we had that cushion of foam in there, we had no problem making the concrete stick. But when we were working right against the airform, we had trouble with that until they developed a primer that would spray on the inside of that airform, and we could make the concrete stick. The first coat just needs to be a half inch thick and let it set up, and then from then on we're good to go. So we would rather build from the inside. You're inside out of the elements. Rainstorm doesn't come down and wash off half the concrete you put on a few hours ago. You're not working in the bright sun or in the snow or whatever. So. Okay, this one is an eco-shell 2. This is one of the first ones we built that way. You can see most of our domes, when you just got the airform on and you build the monolithic dome, you're going to see gore patterns. You're going to see where those seams are. That's true of the eco-shell 2. This is not a seam, but it's where the seam was, and the concrete, it left the impression of the seam. Most of our eco-shell 2s, you're going to go back and spray a coating on the outside to seal the water out and everything anyway, and then you get rid of those seam lines. So it shows you there that he's spraying the concrete right on the airform. You can put doorways, inset doorways in them. We very rarely do augmented doorways on an eco-shell, because the eco-shell is meant to have the airform removed and used again, and removed and used again. And you never find people that want the same size door in the same place and all that. Plus, it's also easy to, after you've got the airform out, you can stand up plywood and you can shoot concrete against it and the rebar and hook the rebar from inside to out and build your augment if you don't want an inset doorway. you build it on the outside of the eco shell. And this, about 3 inches, 2.5 to 3 inches thick. Half to three quarters of an inch at a time. You go all the way around the inside, then you start over again, go around again, you build it up a little bit. You don't, unless it's an extremely small dome, you don't have to wait between coats. Because by the time you get one coat all the way over, you can go back and start at the beginning again, and it's dried sufficiently to put the next coat on. Can we what? We do both. We either mix it ourselves on site or we have a ready mix truck come in. You can do either way. So it all depends. If you're doing a very small dome, we normally do mix our own because the ready mix truck, it takes you a while to spray a load on. So they want you to bring out at least 4 yards, so they got to sit there and wait while you spray on 4 yards of concrete. It might take an hour. They'd rather come and dump their load and leave. So on small domes, we typically mix our own on site in one of our mixers. We build special mixers for small batches and pumps to run it. We have to have the pump anyway. So that's the way it is normally done. But as soon as you get into a 50-foot dome or so, then we use a bigger pump and the ready mix can come and spend 30 minutes there and dump one load and go back for another one. So we do it both ways depending on the availability. That's true. Oh, this, what I was showing here was spraying an Eco Shell 1 from the outside using scaffold jacks and man up on top. That was concrete, that was shotcrete. That's an Eco Shell 1. You see the rebars coming up out of the footing on the outside of the airform. Like I said, in this session we'll do a lot of answering questions. This is a large dome, 180 foot in diameter, built down in Alabama for corn storage. You can see our ring beam going around there. We just tied the airform to that ring beam and put a bunch of rebar in the pit, poured the concrete, hit the airform, spread it out and started inflating it. And eventually it comes tight. Sometimes it takes a couple hours to inflate one of those big ones. That is the most vulnerable time when you're building a monolithic dome, is when you've got the airform partly up, so it's loose, and you get hit with a strong wind all of a sudden, and it'll whip that thing around, and the next thing you know, it splits it from one side to the other. Actually, it usually splits one all the way across and a third one down one side. Then you got to put it back together. Now, once it's tight, it can blow all at once. There's no problem. And from then on, we're working on the inside. These will be just a mixture of pictures here. What kind of questions? What are we after here today, most of you? Anybody got a question? You can see that on these big domes, we get into heavy-duty rebar, number 9, number 10 bar, big stuff, sometimes in double mats. We primarily build spherical on these big domes, but it doesn't have to be, it can be a half sphere, or it can be a lower one. We don't like to build anything that's less than a fourth as high as it is in diameter. The primary reason for that is economics. We tell people we'll build you one that's a fourth of the diameter high or a fifth of the diameter high for the same price. If it's only a fifth as high, you've got less concrete to put on and stuff in the main part of the dome, but your ring beam and your ring beam steel get so big and expensive that it overrides what you've saved on going lower. And most people are happier with the taller dome anyway. By the time they get through, they like the looks of it better. Yeah.
What on our home, which is going to be almost 4,000 square foot, what would be the standard inflation time of that?
Yeah, about an hour, an hour and a half.
Which is going to be almost 4,000 square foot. What would be the standard inflation time?
Yeah, probably want to do it first thing in the morning, some morning when it's quiet. Get it up, that's what we usually do. 3/8 inch bar, going around and around and up and over. Usually about 12 inches apart. This is our caterpillar, the inside of it. You'll see that if you come down there, when you come down there tomorrow.
This may be a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway. If you buy one of the standard plants,
If you just buy a standard plan, we just ship it to you. And
what is the rule of the design?
Most people don't. Most people want them customized, at least to some extent. It doesn't take very much to make it a turn it from a standard plan to a custom plan, because as soon as you move one wall inside, you change the electrical plan, you change the plumbing plan, and everything else. Now, if you're moving a window in a bedroom that's already designed in the bedroom and you're moving it 6 feet over this way and keeping it in the bedroom, then you just tell your contractor when he's building it that that's what you want to do, and we design the airform accordingly and they build it that way. But it doesn't take very much to turn it from a standard plan to custom plan. Now, when we say standard plan, we're talking about canned plans, which we already have designed. We have the plans in-house, and we'll charge you less for them. But we don't charge an arm and a leg for house plans anyway. Typically around 80 to 85 cents a square foot is what we'll do set of construction drawings for. And if you buy a standard one, it'll save you about half. But that generally runs from $1,500 to $2,500 for a full set in the first place. So in most cases, you just as well have what you want to build. The plan we gave you in that packet is a free plan. That doesn't cost anything. That's on one of our little rental units that we've built many, many of. Now he's talking about the little 20-footers. They go up in price because we're on a stem wall. If you're just talking about a dome clear to the ground with no stem wall, because what you're building is surface area. And as soon as you start adding stem wall, you're adding more surface area in comparison with the floor area. But in a typical house, a 40-foot dome, a 50-foot dome, right now the dome shell itself, the concrete, the foam, the rebar, the airform, all that, and the labor to build it, will run about $55 a square foot. In the little 20-footers, that'll jump up to around $65 or $70 a square foot of floor space. Like on those little ones, they'll go up to $65, $70 a square foot. And if you put a 20-foot stem wall on it, it's going to go even more. It's very difficult. When we're talking about stem walls here, we're talking about it being built right into the airform, and we start at the bottom and do the foam and concrete all the way over. Now, if you're building like these schools and churches, we build the stem wall first, and then we attach our airform at the top. That could be done by a local contractor, but that's on bigger buildings. It is if you have a half of a circle or a half of an ellipse at the top of it. You can't do a straight stem wall and a low profile.
I don't understand the word stem wall.
Just a vertical wall. In the case of dome, it's a cylinder. Goes straight up and then into the dome. Typically for a house, we use the 22-ounce material, which you'll have to coat within about 6, 7, 8 years. The heavier materials will last longer without a coating, but they also will tend to have more wrinkles in the airform when you inflate it, especially in the small sizes, because they're heavier material and they don't stretch out as well under the lower pressures. We can let people do it. We normally do it with most of our stuff, but they have to have our engineering and build it to our specs. And that steel in that ring beam can't be broken. That's what holds it all together. Use what? In that big dome? Yeah, that was to get more storage space inside. They then covered that, the inside of that pit, with concrete, and they had it in the bottom also because there was a tunnel that run out at an angle and come up above ground outside of the dome. But no, normally we don't do that. There's only a few that have been done that way.
Okay.
no plumbing and electrical, just the part we do, which is the dome shell. And it, that $55 on a house plan will generally include the floor and the footing. And you can take out either of those or have them done locally or do them yourself too, as far as you follow our plans. Yeah. Yep. Jay? Because when you coat it, you take care of the UV, so you don't have to it doesn't deteriorate the airform under the coating after the coating's on. So you haven't really lost anything. The primary reason that people wait longer, there were two primary reasons. One was a brand new slick airform. A lot of the coatings won't stick to until they've weathered for a year or so. The second reason is it comes down to money a lot of times. We can afford to wait 6 years and then we'll pay for the coating that it takes. Now, if you're doing a commercial venture and you got all your money lined up, and you just as well do it all at one time. And nowadays, with our primer and stuff, you can do it as soon as it's built if you want to. Yeah, depending on what we got, and there's a lot of different things that we've tried down there, but you'll run from about $1.50 per square foot for coating up to $5 a square foot for an inch and a half concrete shell to go over it. Question? PVC plastic. Mm-hmm. Heavily reinforced with nylon or polyester. Mm-hmm. Very close weave. To a certain extent. Lots more than the foam.
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with single ply membranes, PVC membranes that have been exposed for 20 years.
Yeah.
And they've done quite well over 20 years.
But some of the stuff they use in those make it so that we can't heat weld our airforms. A lot of those are heat welded too, so, yeah. But there are things that can be done. And on our heavier ones for the big domes, they'll last for, we've got some of those out there 25 years already. Pretty much. Although on the thicker material from the main manufacturer we do now, they put a different kind of top coating on the thicker material. So. I don't know. We do it in ounces per square yard, so I don't deal with mills. There's a question back there that I've been trying to ask.
Yeah.
It was just excavated with equipment. To a spherical shape, basically a spherical shape, but it wasn't, we didn't do it with an airform or anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty much.
At what point does your team come in? I build the foundation spec, and then your team comes in, or?
You can either do it that way or we'll build the foundation. Either way. Okay, question here. This was up in Oklahoma. No, this was in Kansas. Oh. Okay, get with it and read the thing. We've had tornadoes hit in Kansas, in Oklahoma, and in Iowa domes. But yeah, this was a pretty old one. And it was about an F3 tornado that came through there. And it took off this porch, which is what we're showing. Now it's gone. Well, the dome of the home down there in Pensacola, Florida, went through both of them. Went through two of them in the one same year. This was hurricanes. Tornadoes, I don't know. I don't have any documentation on any that's been through an F5. But the computer models show that they'll do it. An F5 will probably, depending on how much debris it's blowing around, will take out the windows and things. But the dome should be just fine. We haven't figured out how to use that polyurea, and it's what they spray in truck beds and stuff. We haven't figured out how to use it to make a dome airform from. One of the reasons is it's not very stable color-wise, and it's hard to heat weld together. It's a spray-on material. It's primarily been used after the dome was built. And we use it to line the insides of water tanks, that type of thing. And we're looking at it to use as an exterior coating over the airform, but it's too expensive compared to other things that we use right now. Yes, ma'am. Are there what? Oh. No, both the foam and the PVC plastic work just fine. You can cover them up however deep you want. You can take foam and spray a chunk of it and go out and bury it, and you can dig it up 10 years later, and it's just like you buried it. Foam is susceptible to the UV rays, is the biggest enemy. It'll turn to dust really fast if you have it exposed. No, the airform's waterproof with the foam on the inside of it. You have to pay attention to the base. Get your French drains in and your drainage around the base and make sure it drains so it doesn't come up under your floor and stuff. But the dome itself is no problem to bury. Let's see, they talked about this in the first class, not in this one. That is a big dome that Dr. Wilson was first involved with out in Utah, where they mounted up the dirt first, poured in the shapes they wanted, poured concrete on it, and dug all the dirt back out. That's what we're avoiding by using the airforms.
Is this the one they took down?
Last year they took it down. Mm-hmm. The ground became more valuable than the building. The building was still sound, and they had quite a time getting it down. Yeah, it did.
What does a homeowner typically spend to get rid of his home up, excluding the land, take 25 minutes for it?
Just a real rule of thumb, because it's like saying how much is a car. A rule of thumb right now, we're running about $120 a square foot to have it up and ready to live in. You see anything that catches your attention, I'm going to let it run for a little while. Question? You can. You can attach anything to the dome. What you want to do is you get plates, metal plates. If you go by the architects, the way they want you to do it, you'll cut the fabric, you'll cut down through the foam, clean off the concrete, put your plate down there, anchor it down, and make attachments to it. We say don't do that. Leave your foam and your airform, that is your water protection, put a plate on top of it, use a long enough bolt to reach down to the concrete and pull it down tight, and then you can attach solar panels, wind generators, carports, whatever you want to attach to the dome. You just use a lot of good caulking around the bolt that you put in. You've closed it up with the bolt, but you caulk it shut. Okay, let's go ahead. You can. You can, but like on a home, you average 4 to 5 inches in the bottom and 2.5 to 3 in the top. And by the time you have that over your whole home, it makes a pretty good thermal sink without adding additional mass in there somewhere. Questions?
Around the front of our home, we want to just put like flat rock to rock, like a rock face up to the top of the Gothic arches. Is there a special attaching form to do that, or can we just build out on over the top of the existing air form?
You can,
as far as adhesives or with the concrete or...
You're talking about adding it to the air form before you spray it up? And
no, after the building is done.
Okay. That's very difficult to put it. You can attach it on. We can either heat weld it on, or we send with all of our air forms a can of vinyl cement for making patches and that type of thing. And you could seal it on with that, or you could heat seal it on. And then the trick is to get it stretched tight enough that it doesn't wrinkle after you've got the concrete under it.
No, I'm talking, I think we're on a different plan.
Okay.
It's masonry.
Right. Oh, okay.
The outside of the dome.
And you're talking about sealing that to the...
Yes.
Or
do we need to?
Depends on... You're worried about leakage between the dome and that part?
I don't care if it leaks or not.
Oh, okay. Then you don't have to. No. Then you don't need to.
I missed
part of your question.
Plans,
yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. And yeah, you wouldn't need to seal that back there. Primarily, the only requirement is in any sleeping room you have to have a window that meets 5.7 square feet of opening when it's open. If you come out of a door out of the bedroom, even though it doesn't go directly outside, it leads to an exit passage normally. We've never had any turned down for that reason, as long as you've got a window on the outside of the sleeping rooms, or the bedrooms. In most cases, you don't even have to have two doors in the house.
Well, I've been in some underground homes that actually only have the bedroom door exit to the bedroom. So I think that's not where you're going.
That's right, whether they're making you follow certain codes or whether they're not. Yeah. If you're going to bury it, you run into that problem.
And if you design it with the escape hatches that come up and at the top, there is a...
Yes. You can use corrugated galvanized piping for like culverts and stuff. Set them down on the dome, bury it, and have a hatch coming out of your dome and going up. Or you can set it out to the side where a window would be and go into it and then up a ladder. You can do that. Question? Yes. Yes. We have a couple designed that if they build them, we'll have to send them in two pieces and seal them together once they arrive on site. Weight. They get heavier than what you can haul on a truck up the road. And if they're that heavy, they become a problem for your crew to spread out. Because you've got to handle these air forms. Well, if you're talking about a house and a dome that comes to the ground, you usually do it at the base with a concrete trough or something if you want to catch it and direct it somewhere. On these churches and schools that we've been building, they usually rain gutter them. because you've got the vertical wall, you've got the ring beam, and your rain gutter around that ring beam. And sometimes it does. Now, Rick Crandall, the architect that's here, has designed several ways of doing a concrete trough at the top as part of the ring beam. But so far, we haven't come up with one that makes it handy to hook the airform to with that trough in the way and things like that. So we haven't got a good solution that way. But if you're in heavy snow country, a standard plastic or metal rain gutter is going to come off with the ice.
Along with that, around just a, like our dome, will like just a perforated pipe or French drain around the bottom, do you need to drain that away from the building? A code that says we need to do that?
Not necessarily. You're basically building above ground with just a footing underneath, right?
Right.
Yeah. You're in pretty good shape that way. Now, if you're berming up on it or partially covering it or burying it, then you got to worry about that. But you should be fine there. Yes. Inside or outside?
I see some other areas here that are excellent. Very, very impressive. If I was under my dome, I don't want something that looks like that at all.
That one's had a spray coating put on the outside of it.
I don't think spray coating did that because it's been a lot of practice. Anyway, my question is, I'd like to have what I can see in here.
Well, and when you come down to our place tomorrow, you're going to see some really ugly domes. Well, you have to learn, and we've been doing that for 30 years now. And most of the ones that we do personally are smooth now. We've got crews that have. You invite Monolithic or Souths Incorporated or Souths Industries or Dome Technology to come build your dome. Now, we have, not to disparage those who have been through our class and have made a business now, we have probably a half a dozen other dome builders out there that have 10 and 12 under their belts, and they do pretty good work too. And the ones that have gone on with it like that have been pretty picky contractors before they went into this business, so they went into it with the idea of doing top-notch work, and so they're available either through us or two or three of these others that we can recommend to you.
Second question was basements for the combination of the building. Half the property here, we have a basement. Can you get an airform shape?
Good question, yes, you can do that. We can step the dome, the airform, we can have an airform here at this level, have one attached to it that drops down another 4 feet or 6 feet or a basement, and you can do all that. You have to design your footing right to take the airform, but it works. That airform is long gone. Not with fabric. That's almost impossible to do and make it look good. You just go in and use a coating over the concrete, over the foam. Huh? No, you don't refoam it if you've got to it shortly after they take off the dome or it gets off. Some that have let There's been some in industrial areas that have been hit by hurricanes and the flying projectiles have tore apart their airform, but they didn't do anything about it until part of the foam was also gone. And we've gone into them and and put a metal shell over them out of shingles, large size shingles of metal screwed together and make their own dome shape. One thing before I get to you, back to this basement thing. You can build a basement in a dome with a stem wall. You can dig your pit, put your ring beam at the bottom, and start right from there going up. Okay? But the problem with it, when the builders come to build it, is how do they get their equipment stuff down in the hole and back out and walk in and out through the airlocks every day. So it works best if you're like in a hillside and you can take one segment and dig a trench to it so they can go in and out there. That's the biggest drawback of doing a basement in the dome with the airform. But as far as everything else about it, and they have done it several times, even though they've had to put ladders in and go up and down to get in the bottom. Yeah, tomorrow, myself and David and Randy and Andrew and the engineer and everybody will be down at our place, and we have no presentation to give tomorrow, so we'll just be wandering around talking to people. And if you want to sit down and talk for a while, yeah. Sure. Yeah. You'll get to meet them primarily tomorrow. You can catch some of them today, but primarily tomorrow. Yes, ma'am. Flooding is something that the dome is not so good at as everything else. We're fire resistant, tornado resistant, earthquake resistant, everything else. But if you get flooded, the dome's still going to be there. It's not going to move your dome, but it's going to flood everything in your house just like any other house. But the big difference on flooding is that your house isn't going to end up in a pile of wood washing down the creek. It'll still be there. You may have, if it's really bad flooding, you may have to wipe everything out of the inside of it and start from scratch on the inside again. I have the storm out on the Carolina coast, has the whole bottom floor empty with arches in it so that any, this is based on hurricane surges, can wash in and back out. Since Katrina and these hurricanes, there have been two or three domes that we've built that were still down on the low lands on the coast that they have gone up as much as 20 feet high with pilings, and we build our ring beam and floor up there and put the dome up there. You can do that.
Have you ever built a dome within the dome? Have you built a dome for the outer dome, aesthetic cuts, cutouts, and design?
Not per se. We haven't built a dome. We've built a dome within a dome, but it was the big dome was like a science center or something, and the little dome inside was for a light show. What do you call them?
Planetarium.
Okay. Yeah. But we haven't done it for the purpose you're talking. We have come close to that. We've built some domes where we cut several big arches in it, and then the whole house had their walls set back inside, but they were standard constructed walls.
Right.
They were not another dome inside. You could do that as long as you got lots of money. Well, on a monolithic dome, it was big enough for a house, and to do that, you're talking 4 to 5 inches at the base and 3 inches in the top. Okay, we're about out of time. Yeah, we are out of time. Another quick question.
Because you're good at insulation, you're poor at air exchange. Can you just say a few words on the air exchange, how you solve that problem?
In most domes, most of ours down here, the air exchange is handled by having a fan in the bathrooms and over the kitchen stove that aren't just recirculating. charcoal filters, but they actually vent to the outside. And then you've got enough opening and closing of doors. You've got more volume than you have in a normal house, so you don't have to exchange the air as often as you do in a standard house quite often now. A lot of these new houses have a lot of volume too, high ceilings and all that. But and the other option is to put in an ERV, heat recovery or an energy recovery ventilator, which tempers the hot air or the cold air coming in with the air going out. They pass each other through a coil, and so that's a thing that's worked quite well in the dome. At least those that have them. I don't have one in mine. David has one in his. You'll see that down there tomorrow. Well, in the old days, I'm talking 30, 40 years ago, you didn't have any problem. The air came in and out as it wanted in most houses. But they're making them so tight now that's something you need to look at, whether you're building a dome or whether you're building one of these other houses that's tight.
Are they pretty available,
ERVs? Yeah, and they're starting to come down in price a little now. Originally, they were around $1,000 for just a 1,200 square foot house or so, but they're starting to get competition and come down now.
Does your website say something about ERVs?
Yeah, our website says something about everything.
If you have a chance to talk to David tonight, he's got some great ideas. Talk about the website.
Yeah, he's much more of an expert on those than I am, but they are they're worthwhile. Okay, that'll do it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.